Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Yisrael Passaic Clifton. We're continuing our Daf Shavua Insights of the Daf series. The shir is on Maseches Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph, and the topic is Hiddur Mitzvah, beauty is in the eye of the holder. The backdrop to which our discussion is going to take place is a Mishnah and the subsequent machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is speaking about a case where a person was hidden la v'sagefen, v'sadalas, v'sakisum, v'sikei chalgaba, if somebody hung a vine or a gourd on top of a sukkah, and he puts chach on top of it, the sukkah is pasul. V'im haya sikei charbe mihen, o shekitzitzan kishere. But if there's more chach than the pasul vine, or you cut the vine, it's kosher. First thing we see over here is that the psul of the vine is not an inherent psul in the chefts of the schach, in the actual object of the schach. There's nothing that's wrong to say with the vine. But rather, it's the circumstances in which the vine is being used as schach. In other words, it's attached. Clearly, one has to detach the vine from the ground, unless the circumstances of hayasiko charbimihem. And the question is that enough sufficient? Here, the Gemara brings down a machlokos between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, kitzitza, detaching the vine is enough, while Shmuel says, sarach lena'aneya, you have to actually pick up and shake the vine. At the heart of the machlokes is the principle of tasev lo min asuf. The Torah tells us, chag asukos tasalav, you have to make the holiday of sukkahs for you, from which the Gemara learns out, you have to place the schach on top of the sukkah and cannot have the schach just be found on your sukkah automatically. Classic example of this psul is the Mishnah later on in the parak, where we see a choti begadish lasos bo sukkah. If somebody dug a hole or dug an opening through a haystack to make a sukkah out of it, because now what happens is you have four walls and you have a roof that's made of hay, which is, that's all the qualifications, you can do like karaka, it's in a makabal tumma, and it's tolush. Still, nonetheless, it's ain't no sukkah because you didn't put the sukkah on top, the sukkah just appeared automatically. Our case here is that one cut the branch. The question is that sufficient enough of a maisa to qualify as an asiyah? Or does one have to physically shake, or in other words, remove the schach and replace it on the sukkah to make it a valid asiyah and not to be subject to the prohibition of tasev v'lo min asuf? This question is debated back and forth, and challenges are brought to both Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara later brings in a seemingly parallel case from lulav, where one tied the lulav and the other minyan together, and then noticed that his hadassim had berries on them. The berries passed the hadass. Now, while the Gemara says it's forbidden on Yontif to remove them, the question is raised about whether one's lulav is kosher if he went ahead and removed the berries without untying the lulav. Again, the question is analyzed with the perspective of Tasev lo min asuf, is debated, and the Gemara has no conclusion if one can draw a parallel between the two. What does come out from the question, whether if a lulav needs to be tied with other minim, i.e. an egg, with the lulav needs to be tied with the other minim, i.e. an egged, is that me'ikar hadin? Is that a requirement, or is that a nice thing? The Gemara lets us know that Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion of lulav tzarech eged, while the Chachamim disagree. At the bottom of Amud Beis, we have the following Gemara, which explains the position of the Chachamim regarding the eged of a lulav. As the Gemara reads, Kiman az laha desanya, who does this following brisa follow? Lulav mitzvah la'ogdo, there's a mitzvah to tie the lulav. V'im lo agado kosher, but if you didn't tie it, it's kosher. So we say, Yir Rabbi Yehuda, Kilo agado my kosher. If he didn't tie it, why is it kosher? He holds that lulav needs an egged. Be rabbanon am I mitzvah? The rabbanon who say it's not a mitzvah, and that's not a requirement, so why is it a mitzvah? Again, questions. It says there's a mitzvah to tie it, but if he didn't, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says there's a requirement. It's not just a mitzvah. And the Chum say it's not a requirement at all, so why are they saying it's a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, the olam rabbanon hi, umishum shenemar zeh keli v'yanvehu, because the Torah says, this is my God and I will beautify him. This teaches us his not the fun of the mitzvos. You should make your mitzvos beautiful. In other words, it's a key in the concept of hiddur mitzvah, the idea of beautifying mitzvos. Something that's connected to the pasuk of Zekeli Vanvehu. So this is telling us that according to the Chachamim, the idea of tying the lulav together is a key in hiddur mitzvah. It's no requirement for the mitzvah itself, but it's something which you would call an extra. And I want to discuss the nature of this idea of hiddur mitzvah, basically being two ideas. What exactly is the requirement? And is the requirement min haTorah or is it midrabbanan? Let's first look at the nature of the obligation. In order to do this, I want to refer you to a Tosfos that's brought down in Maseches Gittin, Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. And there, Tosfos says the following, Mikan Rabbeinu Omer Rabbeinu Tam, from here Rabbeinu Tam says, Dein Isho Gedes Lulav, Viosa Tzitzis, a woman cannot tie a lulav together, or she can't make tzitzis kevodalom mifkada, because she's not commanded in those mitzvos. In other words, a woman is not chayeves in tzitzis, and a woman is not chayeves in lulav, and therefore she can't make them. Now, what Tosfos dismisses the Psak Rabbeinu Tam for a different reason. The Birkas Avraham asks, why should this be the case, that she can't tie up the lulav? The Maskanon Ar Gemara, according to the Chachamim at least, is that the chiyuv to have an eged, the lulav tied together, is at most one of her mitzvah. Why should a woman's chiyuv in the mitzvah play any role if she can do something which is hit her mitzvah or not? The Birkas Avraham explains that this can be explained by a chakira or an inquiry into this din that was made by the Brisker Rav Zichron Levracha. The Griz looks at hit her mitzvah and asks for the following clarification. On one hand, do we say hit her mitzvah is an independent obligation brought down to beautify any mitzvah that we have, irregardless of the mitzvah involved? Or do we say that hit or mitzvah is another element in the pre-existing mitzvah that we're dealing with? Meaning, let's take lulav. The mitzvah of lulav has four components. Lulav, esrog, hadasim, and aravos. It has the needs to hold them, as it needs to hold them, and to shake them, and so on. And to this, we want to add another general dimension, and that is hit or mitzvah. Said in a different way, when a person does hit or mitzvah, what is he fulfilling? Is he fulfilling a separate mitzvah of hit or mitzvah, an own independent obligation, or is he fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav in a more beautiful, preferred way? That's the question that the Brisker Rav raised. And looking into this Tosfos, the Birkas Avraham says, Rabbeinu Tam is clearly holding like the side of the Chakira that says, hit or mitzvah is a way to make that preferred is a way to make that particular mitzvah more beautiful. It's not a separate. And how do we see this? That hiddur mitzvah is an additional kiyum in the mitzvah of lulav. So we look at Rabbeinu Tam's habimina of not allowing a woman to tie lulav. As why is the whole aspect of lulav tzarich eged, don ferdin mitzvah, is an extra component of the mitzvah that she's not obligated in. Had it be something separate, yeah, we could say that she would be mechuyevesin. The fact that we're saying that Rabbeinu Tam is tying, no pun intended, the idea of Eged with the Chiyuv is teaching us that Hidur Mitzvah is really related or tied, again, no pun intended, to the mitzvah that you're obligated in and not its own special commandment. Second, what's the source of this obligation? Now, the Gemara does bring in the Pasuk of Zekeli Van Veyu. So one might think it's clearly a Deoraisa, but the truth is that's not so clear. What's the holdup? Let's look at this Ritva that I'm going to read to you. The Ritva says the following. On the Gemara that we says we rabbanan my mitzvah, the Ritva says pirish to leikel amemer the mitzvah la agdol lechatchila min ator ela dieved im lo agdol kosher the hakol b'doraisa lo shiny la ben lechatchila ben b'dieved ufarkinan the hainu mitzvah mid rabbanan mishum shenamar zekeli v'anvehu is na lefanav the mitzvahs. The Ritva is basically basing his opinion on the fact that the Braisa clearly gives us a delineation between the Chatchil and Bidyevet. This idea, the Ritva says, indicates it's only a Derabbanan, it's something that's a Torah requirement, cannot be ignored Bidyevet. So the Ritva, bottom line, says, based on our Gemara, Hidur Mitzvah is a Chiyuv Mi Derabbanan. There are other Rishonim, including the Ravid, brought down in the Daf Yarif, and the Chidush Yanshe Hashem, where it was pointed out to a comment that they say in Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Ches very clearly, Mishum the Iker Hidur Mitzvah Del Raisahi, Tichsiv Zekeli Vanbehu. So we see that there's actually a machlokes between the Rishonim as to whether Hidur Mitzvah is a Chiyuv Midrabbanan or Midor Raisa. What's the difference or not? So let's bring in a couple of Nafkaminas. One is based on the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Tes, which says the following, Amar Rav Zeira Behidur Mitzvah Achlish Ben Mitzvah. So what Rav Zeira says that for Hidur Mitzvah, to purchase a more beautiful item using the performance of the mitzvah, one should spend up to a third more than the cost of the standard item used to perform the mitzvah. The Gemara goes on to ask a question. Boy Ravashi, shlish milagav or shlish milavar? Ravashi wants to know, how do you calculate the third? There are two ways to go ahead and do it. You can say it's a third from within, meaning let's use $60 as the standard set for arba min. If you're going to say milagav from within, what are you going to do? You're going to take a third of that 60, which is 20, add 20 to the total, and you're going to end up saying that for heter mitzvah, you should spend up to $80 on your lulav. That's milagav. Milabar is when you take your third outside of it. And what does that really mean? It really comes into effect that you're not going ahead and adding a third, but what you're really doing is you're taking a third of the original value, but actually you're taking a half. What do I mean? If you take this original value of 60, you take a half of it, which is 30, and you add it together, you get 90. The difference between the 30, which is the 90 and the 60, is 30, which is a third of the final amount. So in other words, when we say milagav or milabar, and we say a shlish, what we're really saying practically is, it's either a third or really a half. And by saying it's a half, the half is really a third when you look at the total of the original amount plus what you added. I know that sounds a little complicated. Is a third really a third? Is a third really a half? But the bottom line is this. Regarding the Rishonim, so regarding this question, the question is basically going to be based like what we were saying before. If Heter Mitzvah is Midoraisa, L'chora, you should be spending more. If it's a derabanan, we could be makel and say the less. And the truth is, it's brought down the name of the Rosh. It says, the fact that the Gemara says a teku, d'chemelo ifshita, naktinan d'shlish milagav kamar. We can say that it's a 30 without, meaning you take a 30 of the original cost, and zehu. So instead of paying 90, you're going to be paying 80. And what's the reason of the Rosh? V'nira shatay mishum d'sveka derabanan hiyo l'kula. So the fact that we're saying over here that we're dealing with Safek Derabbanan, that clearly tells you that Heter Mitzvah is a Derabbanan. Another question could be, is if we say Zrizim Makdimin beats Heter Mitzvah, or does Heter Mitzvah beat Zrizim Makdimin? And the case brought down by the Ramon, Simon Tov Chavav Zitbeth, is a question about Kiddush Levana. In general, we try to do Kiddush Levana on a Motzei Shabbos because we're dressed nicely, we're in good clothes, and so on. And that's definitely a hit or mitzvah. But the question is, what happens if a person, it's before Motzei Shabbos, it's already the time, and a person says, listen, I'm ready, I want to do Kiddush Levana because I don't want to go ahead and miss it. So the Ramah writes the following, V'davkim li'al Motzei Shabbos v'kodem yud b'chodesh, azam tina Motzei Shabbos. It's only if the first Motzei Shabbos is before the 10th of the month. Avali macharkach imam tinam. Why? Don't wait, why? Shema yu bezo lelo so gimbal dalin anonim. Lo yura velavano viyavar zman. Because we don't want you to miss Kiddush Levana. Same question. Heter mitzvah to do it b'gidei Shabbos. Zrizos to do it right away so you don't miss it. What's the shaila based on? Well, if you say heter mitzvah is deraisa, so then heter mitzvah would trump it. If you're going to say heter mitzvah is just the derabanan, it's not going to trump it. And the fact is, the Ramah points out that we don't say Heter Mitzvah trumps it. For the same reason, if you say a person has a chance to go ahead and buy a talis now, or wait till later and buy a more beautiful talis, but you don't have one now, or to get a Sefer Torah now, which is okay, versus waiting a little bit more time to have a beautiful Sefer Torah, you take what you have. Because again, Zrizos goes ahead and beats, Zrizos goes ahead and beats Heter Mitzvah, telling us that what? It's going to be a derabanan. Final question that Nachmi wants to bring down is a question that was brought down to Rav Zilberstein. And the question is, a person has two options. One, he can buy a really beautiful set of Arba Minim. Or he can buy a regular kosher set. They're not so mehudar. And with the leftover money, he can give it to the poor people. So let's just give money. Let's give good examples. You have a choice. You can buy a $60 lulav that's kosher. Or you can buy a $360 lulav. The nafkamina being, one case you're going to get a beautiful lulav in Esron. The other case, you'll get a kosher one, and it's and the anim are going to get $300 in tzedakah. And Rav Zilberstein says the nafkamina, the whole shayla is based on the fact whether you're going to be saying Heter Mitzvah is midarais or midarabon. If you're going to say it's midat Torah, so then really there's a tzad to go ahead and do it and to spend all that money. But if you're going to say it's midarabonon, then clearly you should buy the regular set and give the rest of the money to tzedakah. Parenthetically, the Chazon Yecheskel, the Yecheskel Abramsky, was once offered really, really beautiful tzitzis. More nice than what he could possibly can have. And he said he would rather go ahead and definitely spend the money on the tzedakah part. Now, Reb Zilberstein does say the following. If the person is really, really looking to buy an Esrog Mehudar, and that's going to bring him a tremendous amount of simcha, then that might trump the mitzvah. But if doing tzedakah is just as important to him as having a beautiful lulav and esrog, clearly you should do the mitzvah of tzedakah and help the poor people. From the fact that we see so many of Achronim saying, and Rishonim saying that, it's be the Rabbanon. So these cases of Dafka Miners are telling you that's the Rabbanon, hitter mitzvah. To me it sounds also that in this case, you give up the beautiful hitter and help somebody else, and by doing that, not only will you get the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, but you also get the mitzvah of tzedakah. And I'll ask you, which one's going to bring you closer to Hashem? You shaking a beautiful lulav and esrog and somebody starving, or you shaking a normal lulav and esrog and somebody themselves having a simchas yom tov? Kol tov, have a wonderful week.